Welcome to a chat in a garden where significance blooms in athletics and sport. Since the last time we talked, and just in case you don't know, I'm Monique A.J. Smith, your host. Since the last time we talked, we have a new Madam Vice President. Did you ever think you'd be saying that? Madam Vice President. That is so deep. So to celebrate that, I am putting together a boot camp to celebrate how to become a Madam Vice President. How to become a second lieutenant. That's a skill, y'all. Especially if you've been a leader in your own right. That's a skill in itself, how to become a second lieutenant. And it's not dimming your light. It's about being a very strategic leader. It's about repositioning yourself for the win. So stay tuned. Haven't picked a date yet because we've got so much going on. But, yeah, I am planning that. And it's going to be 2 days because it tells me I try to put too much in and one night. So I'm going to try a 2-day boot camp. And, with it, you get a self-guide for yourself. So when you find yourself getting in a stumble part, like, okay, why that just happened? I got something for you. So that's my way of celebrating the new Madam Vice President. Because we want, like she said, it's okay to be the first, but it's not okay to be the last. She might have said it that way, but I've always said, it's okay to be the first, but it's not okay to be the last. And that's been my whole motto, putting other women in positions of leadership in athletics and sport. Can we, and we can talk about, Madam VP, but can we talk about Amanda Goldman, okay? My Lord, how wonderful was it to witness and to hear these words, the new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always a light, if only we are brave enough to see it. If only we are brave enough to be it. Now, the bloom part got me, because, in the garden, we're talking about blooming. But then when she say brave enough to be it, hey, and I'm going to just be really straightforward, it takes courage to create confidence. Because honestly, you can't think your way into confidence. You got to do your way into confidence. And so when she says brave enough to be it, yeah, let's just be clear. Brave enough to push back from the weeds of naysayers. From naysayers that don't understand. Why would you want to do that? Aren't you comfortable where you are? Growth hurts, y'all. Growth hurts. But if you don't go through the growth part, you won't have this beautiful flower that you become. And I call you blooming leaders. Blooming leaders. So, hey, I am ecstatic about what has just occurred last week since we have talked. And I want to say this. I found a very interesting background story about Amanda. Amanda has a speech impediment. Did she let that stop her? No. She was the inauguration speaker. And for someone who had also a speech impediment, I used to stutter so bad that I was SGA president in high school, and they did not allow me to speak at graduation. Yeah, fast forward, and my graduation was 1986. Fast forward to 2017. Who gave the graduation speech for Sussex Central High School? Yours truly. You can push past anything. Anything. So let that be an inspiration for you from this day forward. From this day forward. And I'm all about getting seeds of inspiration or seeds of empowerment, because I do believe reads are seeds. And best believe, I am not getting anything from this, but I probably will put a link in the group. But John Thompson's book is the bomb, okay? Yes. And it's, I feel bad that he's no longer here with us, but he left us some real good seeds. And, you know, you might not like basketball, might not like Georgetown, but if you're in the business of working with young people, because he clearly says he was a teacher first. And, yes, he was a teacher, but he still wanted to win. So, hey, if you on the docket for me to come to your campus to do a staff retreat, I usually use Phil Jackson's book, 11 Rings. But, hey, I'm going to start incorporating. I got to finish the book first. I'm going to incorporate John Thompson because it's the exact same thing. One of the last workshops I did was for Delaware State, and they asked me to work with their coaches to help deal with the millennial student-athlete. And really because there's a new piece that you got to consider, which is the portal, the transfer portal. And we're dealing with young people, but it's a different thing. It's a different day. And how do you avoid getting the portal for one of your most expensive investments in athletics, which is scholarship, and then you've lost the return on investment? It is building trust. Building trust. And you got to do that quickly, honestly. Yeah, do that quickly. And it kind of starts from knowing them before you know them, if you know what I mean. And, but, you know, with the situation that we have now with COVID, you got an opportunity to build some of that, to build some of that. So, yeah, definitely. And I created this game called Newly Committed. So those that are seasoned folks, well, maybe you know, I forgot her first name, but Shepherd is now the host of the Newlywed Game. But you might know the one back in the day, and the couples would come, and they were newlyweds, and they would be all excited and whatnot, but then they would be paired off, and they'd ask some questions, and trying to see if they really didn't know each other. So that's what I kind of created, and it was quite successful. So now I'm reading John Thompson's book, and I'm going like, he's saying exactly the same thing. I actually heard from the author and one of his ball players at the Black Student Athlete Summit, and they talked about how they would have practice, and then would do their running, you know, before practice really began. And he would have them stand beside them and ask them, quiz them about the current affairs. Y'all, that was beautiful to me. Now, you know, John Thompson was a winner, so you can't say that he was slacking. But that is so great. You know, and at this day and time, you got to ask these kids how are they feeling now about current issues. Got to. So that's my second tip for today. And then last night we had Ivory Tab inside the Facebook group. And when I tell you, I told y'all to throw some names out. This woman has worked with almost every celebrity there is. you know, her current role is working for the American Cancer Society and managing the NFL partnership. But because she is so well connected, she's been able just to connect all across the board. And she even mentioned something I already saw, which was an Olympian getting coming, I think, as Entertainment Tonight, about her comeback from cancer and competing and getting ready for the Olympics. So, hey, I really suggest, again, with these times of having downtime and having a reason to meet with your student athletes, she's a great person to bring because, you know, she's worked with Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson. We talked about Primetime. You know, I mean, she's got great insight, great insight. And she actually started out as an athletic administrator. So, but just go ahead and check out the Facebook Live. It's in the group, and it was great. Next Wednesday, February the 4th, I will be speaking on a panel about us increasing the number of women of color in athletic administration and coaching. It's called the Equity Summit. And I'm excited because it's 3 days of phenomenal speakers all about, you know, interesting. They say the Equity Summit, designing a anti-racist future. And it's a virtual conference, and so where you will join media executives, politicians, academics, and athletes, and policy experts to discuss how to create a more equitable society. And I'm joined by two Garden members, Ava Champion. I call her A. Baker, but her last name is Amaker, and Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes. And so, to join, to register, and it's only $35, go to bit.ly/ the Equity Summit 21. And it's 3 days, y'all. 3 days for $35. Oh, my gosh. Can't miss that. Again, it's bit.ly, the Equity Summit 21. Shout out to the listeners on HSRN. That listen on Fridays at 12 noon and Sundays at 8 p.m. I was on another conference somewhere. Oh, yeah, last week I attended my business conference. Had Les Brown, y'all. Ooh, that was so good. But one of the reason I like this business group is that the founder will have someone come up that he will work through their process or whatever they're trying to do in front of everybody. So that does take a lot of courage to allow someone to use their platform to, you know, use to coach. And so one of them was a lady who talks, I think it's stilettos and stocks, with stocks and stilettos or something like that. And I was like, you know what? I am really blessed to have someone in my community that's already in that area to talk about it. And also at the same conference, Dr. Bryce, who's I think he talks about stocks and another group on Facebook. And hey, you know, this is one other example. Got my hair done yesterday, well, 2 days ago, and my hairdresser husband called, and I overheard, again, there's only two people in the shop at the time, and says, I think you're talking about some stocks, and she was talking about, yeah, we're going to take that and make an IRA. I was like, go ahead, Pat. That's the kind of way that you increase your income stream. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is knowing what to pick, how to pick it, and what to do with it after it grows. So you go like, I don't know anything about all that. Guess what? We have somebody in our garden who is doing that. That's Jolie Robinson of Stepping to Win. And she has she just sent me a message. She does keep sending messages out when the next educational session is. So you want to get on her radar, okay? You want to get on her radar to get on her next class that they have. And so how do you do that? She is, class about what? Number one, Jolene's a winner. A winner, okay? She got trophies galore, women's basketball coach, Division II and Division I. But now she is taking her coaching to us. She is teaching us the financial investor game, all right? And we can't miss that. We cannot miss that. So if you're looking how to grow your money and have a different income stream, you know, smart folks take whatever they make from the investment and reinvest it. So you might not have understood. You could get a check, but then if you're smart, you just reinvest and let it keep on growing because time is something you can't get back. Well, you know, but let Jolie tell you about it, okay? So text her at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. And just text you want to get into the investor game. Or you can email her at jrobinson@stepping2win.com. Again, jrobinson@stepping2win.com. You know, I'm always on my resources, the one that I really, really enjoy, and we're coming up on the Super Bowl, and, you know, our student athletes are going to get star-eyed because they want to be, that's going to be me one day. And shout-out to Ingrid Wicker-McCree, AD at North Carolina Central. She's got two of her former players playing in the Super Bowl, okay? And they come from the MAC program, and shout-out to Jay Shell Mitchell. She at the time was director of football operations, and now she's at the NFL. I mean, it's women's leadership, and you got to be able to acknowledge the touch that they have. So knowing that we have touches with student athletes and they come to us for advice, if you have not had that experience of having someone from your program go professional, you might need to get some resources to be able to prepare yourself for the question. So Surviving the Life, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse, Tawana Smith, is what I recommend. It can be found on Amazon in three different formats, audiobook, paperback, and ebook. Again, that's Tawana Smith's Surviving the Life, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. Hey, it's been endorsed by the NFL. They bought the book for all their attendees of the last Celebration Bowl. Okay, they didn't have one this year. And so, hey, if that's not an endorsement, I don't know what else you want. Because they thought the book was great. And, you know, for a postseason opportunity, those young people have a pretty good chance to go on the pro level. So go get yours today. And I mentioned Ivory Tab Facebook Live yesterday. And the reason why we're doing it, we want you to get up and personal with the contributors to the Significance Magazine, which is called Significance in Athletics and Sports. And the issue hits the stands in March, but I have to order them. And so I just need some help. Need you to pre-order, because when you try to order in March, I have no idea where you're going to get it if you order it in March. So on board, there's 16 contributors. I've already done three Facebook Lives with three of the 16, and Ivory Tab is one of them. It's great. Because it's not, the magazine is not about, they have 350 words of bio. But what has been really great is that they share their secret sauce. how did they do what they do? Or how had they been able to advance? And they get the step-by-step, because I wanted the secret sauce. I wanted to be able to share, why are you significant? Because, hey, we are that. We are significant. What makes you tick? And how can you be a resource to the community of athletics, not just the garden, but, you know, what is your specialized knowledge that allows whatever you are connected to soar? And that's the goal. So if you want to know, how do they get these speaking engagements? How do they become a consultant? How did they get that promotion? That's it. So come and pre-order the magazine at payhip.com/CZEmpowerment. Okay, I think we're at that time now. We're at that time to meet our guest for today. And interesting, this person, beyond formerly working with Under Armour, she's a HBCU grad, and, you know, that's our theme for the last 7 days, HBCU. No, I'd say for the month, matter of fact, women of color HBCU grads getting it done. I just saw where the lady from Spelman, who was at Starbucks, is now going to, I want to say, Walmart or some other big fortune company. But the part that grabbed my eye was she was Spelman grad. And so, but let me tell you, yes, I promote women of color. But let me tell you, there are some men folk out here who promote us. And one such name is Ed Hill. Ed Hill will call me out the blue and give me a list of names that I may want to consider to be in the garden. And he has a bio for each of them. So I will tell you, Ms. Coleman, who our guest is for today, Talia Coleman, was one such person. And, you know, the part that I think I got this right, and I was, this is what you say HBCU love. Ed worked at Howard University. But from what I read, Ms. Coleman did not go to Howard University. She went to a area, HBCU area in the D.C. area. But, no. So that to me is love, because HBCU, you don't have to go to the same school. Even though at Howard and at Hampton, we got like some little issues a little bit, just slightly, because I'm a Hampton grad 30 years ago. But when Ed, and plus Ed and I are former SIDs together, but he is the guru, all right? And I was like, okay, Ed, whatever you need, I'll make room for it. And so I am glad, because I have never met her, if never spoken, so I am excited to bring to the garden Talia Coleman. Welcome to the garden, Ms. Coleman.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You hear your cheers?
I hear the cheers. I'm like standing ovation, crowd noises. It feels like I'm watching a virtual NBA game.
Wonderful. That's the goal. That's the goal. Okay, my phone is trying to fall. Just 1 second. Okay, so, so let's just start from the beginning and tell our audience about your career from college to now.
Sure. Again, shout out to Morgan State University, home of the Bears, proud HBCU grad. So Morgan really helped to prepare me for the real world. My first exposure to communications, and that's been my career track in public relations, started at Morgan, and where I was doing work with WEAA, which is the public radio station on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So that really gave me my first exposure to media and communications and, you know, just what opportunities, you know, were available to me as a communications student and trying to figure out my way and exactly what I was going to be when I grew up. And so I did some work with the radio station on campus there. I wrote scripts. I did voiceover work. I operated the board. So it was just a really great exposure to me to different types of media. From there, you know, I talked to my professors. I consulted them quite a bit while I was there. I took advantage of all the resources that were available to me. And, you know, as I was talking to different professors, we talked about just sort of narrowing down what I was going to focus on. At first, I thought I was going to be, you know, in front of the camera or behind the mic, you know, doing work such as yourself with this platform. I thought I would be doing that full time. But then I actually had a conversation with someone outside of the university. It was actually my sister's mother-in-law told me about public relations. She was like, I think you'd be great. You're charismatic. You have a great gift of gab. And she was a boss herself. She was an executive for a health insurance company. So it was she was a good model in terms of seeing a woman of color that was leading in an executive role. And she was like, have you thought about public relations? And I hadn't thought about it. She was like, well, you know, do some research. And I did. And then I eventually was able to get an opportunity to work for a PR firm in Baltimore, which was black-owned and operated, called the 21st Century Group. Adrian Harpool, who I still keep in touch with, owned the firm, and he came on Morgan State's campus. There was a career fair. He came on campus, and he was looking for interns, and I had a good conversation with him about what I aspired to be, and I'm like, this is what I want to be. You know, when I grow up, you know, you own your own PR firm. And so he gave me the opportunity to have my first paid job in PR. And while I was there, you know, worked with different clients. I mean, he had a pretty diverse slate of clients, from Delta Airlines to working with a local concert pavilion called Pier 6 in Baltimore. So that was, you know, got some exposure to entertainment and, you know, working with that client. And it was just a great experience for me. And from there, I did some work with the in government. So I went on to do an internship with the governor of Maryland in the press office. And so at that time, I was getting exposure to different, you know, industries and, you know, in terms of PR. But what ultimately was sort of my breakthrough in sports was after I graduated from college, I worked for another PR firm, boutique PR firm that was black-owned again, Gwen McKinney. She still is in business to this day on K Street in Washington, D.C. She hired me as a junior associate, actually as an intern and then eventually a junior associate. And while I was there, you know, my job as a junior associate, usually if you're in PR, you're doing a lot of media tracking and monitoring and putting together press clips for your clients. And so I was responsible for the press clips and making sure they got to our clients on time, but I would always have my nose in the sports section. And so that would delay, because my passion has always been in sport. Always, I've loved sports since I was a little girl, probably 3 or 4 years old, my earliest memories. And so I always had my nose in the sports section. And she's like, Talia, have you ever thought about a career in, like, sports media or sports PR? And I was like, you know what, I never thought about that. And probably fast forward a few months later, my cousin reached out to me and was like, hey, there's an internship opportunity in Indianapolis with the Black Coaches Association. The job description, I'm like, I have a full-time job. Why would I go back to an internship? But, you know, nothing was really holding me back. You know, I wasn't married at the time, didn't have any kids. I was 21 years old at that point, or 22. And I was like, okay, I'm going to step on faith here and see, you know, explore the opportunity. So reached out to the BCA. Floyd Keith, who was the executive director there, hired me after a conversation with him. And he, you know, we hit it off. And I was like, I guess I'm packing my bags and moving to Indianapolis. And so it was a leap of faith. I mean, I've definitely taken a lot of leaps of faith in my career. And so worked at the BCA for about a year. From there, I the BCA, of course, being in Indianapolis, as I'm sure you know well, Ms. Smith, I mean, it's the home of the NCAA. And so was able to get exposure to a lot of colleagues at the NCAA while I was there, and really opened a lot of doors for me. And so while I was there, I Had an opportunity to move again to Georgia to work with the Women's Basketball Coaches Association as their manager of communications. So worked for the WBC. Beth Bass, yes. Beth Bass. Yes, she was amazing and such a huge supporter for me and really helped to build my confidence as a woman in sport. I mean, when you work for the WBCA, you see so many women of influence and leadership, and it was just such a the BCA and both the WBCA were really the game changers for me as far as my career. They were it was the catalyst for me, and everyone was so supportive of me. Beth was amazing and just such a huge supporter of me and just gave me exposure and introduced me to so many others along the way. I mean, I got to meet, you know, people like Pat Summit. I mean, just, you know, Tara Vanderveer. I mean, you meet all these huge, you know, figures in women's sports, and I was just in awe while I was there. And so from the WBCA opened yet another door for me. Working there, I got to work with, you know, the ESPN. And so ESPN was a media sponsor of the WBCA because we had a program at the WBCA. We had a couple of different programs that really helped promote the sport, and that was the All-America team that we selected. We did Players of the Year. And so through the All-America team, you know, these are the top women basketball players in the collegiate women basketball players in the world. And so they would televise it. And so I'm coordinating PR and you know, media relations with ESPN, who had a presser right after us. And so I got to meet a lot of the production team and their comms team through that event at during the Women's Final Four. And so Josh Krulowitz, who was the head of PR for college sports for ESPN at the time, you know, we worked together really closely, coordinating our two press events back to back to each other. And he was like, "Hey, we have this role at ESPN, we're going to be launching this new network called ESPNU," which is the 24-hour, at the time, 24-hour college sports network, still is in existence to this day. And he said, "We need someone to head the PR for that. Do you know anyone that's interested?" And I'm like, I think I might be. So I was like, "Can you send me the job description?" He did. And honestly, you know, Ms. Smith, I thought this was in over my head. Like, at the time, I think I was 24, and I was like, I don't know. ESPN is big, and I was in my own head and telling myself, I was in my own head, like, I don't know if I can do this. And then another thing was Connecticut, and I was like, I don't know about moving to Connecticut. WBCA is based right outside of Atlanta, so you know, 20-something in Atlanta during that time, it was like, you know, this is where I want to be. It's booming. You know, it's a lot of young professionals of color, especially, you know, the rich history in Georgia and Atlanta area specifically. So at any rate, I end up talking to someone named Scotty Rogers, who you may know. So Scotty Rogers is now the director of communications at the Cotton Bowl. That was last year, I think he was named, which is awesome. And he's such a, I mean, you talk about another great sort of mentor in sports. So I actually talked to him because I knew he had worked with a lot of the ESPN folks and, you know, was familiar with Bristol, Connecticut. And I was like, "Hey, Scotty, like, you know, I got this opportunity." And, you know, I was like, "What do you think?" He was like, "Yeah, Bristol is, you know, it's unique. You know, it's not Atlanta." But he was like, "The people at ESPN, I can tell you, the folks that you'll be working with are fantastic." He was like, "This is a great opportunity for you. You know, I think you should pursue it. You should go after it." And he was just a big champion for me, an advocate. And just through that whole COSIDA, you mentioned Ed Hill, of course. He's like the godfather in sports media. I met him at COSIDA, which is the Collegiate Sports Information Directors of America, and really was able to build a great relationship with him through that that organization, which I got affiliated with when I started to work at ESPN. So Scotty, you know, all these people along the way that you meet and just, you know, encourage you or support you or help to open doors for you. So Scotty convinced me, like, to take, you know, to explore the opportunity with ESPN, interviewed. It was one of the toughest interviews of my lifetime to this day. end up getting the job to lead ESPNU's PR efforts and really help to launch the network and grow the distribution of that network through, a targeted communication strategy and really working closely with a lot of SIDs across the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just, an amazing opportunity for me. And then from there, I worked at ESPN for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
I was there 8 years. Most of it was in corporate communications, working on mostly collegiate programming. So ESPNU, as I mentioned, we had the rights to all the NCAA championships. So, mm-hmm. of course, working on those. The biggest one for me, of course, was the women's NCAA tournament because we had the exclusive rights to televise all the games. And so it was just a great just exposure that my love for women's basketball is, is endless. And so
let me pause you for a second because I might forget to ask you this. So were you working at ESPN when the CIAA had this big press conference at Times Square?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. What were they announcing? Maybe if I remember what they were announcing.
They televised the CIAA championship game on ESPN as the first HBCU conference, Division II.
I don't remember the press conference, but I do remember, obviously we were really one of the first networks to, provide mm-hmm. more exposure for black colleges, and that definitely was a influential for me to take the job too, just knowing that this platform was going to give more exposure to HBCU athletes
mm-hmm.
who didn't ordinarily, get that type of exposure. So that was huge. And certainly the other event that we owned and operated at ESPN was the MEAC Swag Challenge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, just the big sort of classic football game that we owned and operated in, it would be the top, program at the Swag mm-hmm, and the MEAC mm-hmm. would play against. And, again, just knowing that you're in a position, like you were saying, this platform you've created to give – women of color in sport more exposure mm-hmm. And just recognizing them for their contributions. That's how I felt, with working on ESPNU and having this platform where you could, provide more exposure for HBCU athletes
mm-hmm.
who
mm-hmm.
ordinarily didn't get that television time.
That's right.
So that is, just when you're in that role, you definitely feel a sense of, gratitude, humility,
mm-hmm.
but also responsibility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was, just that time, I still say that ESPN was my dream job.
Right, right.
It's still, to this day, even as I moved up in my career, it still, to me, was, between the WBCA, ESPN, some of the best times in my career because of the amazing people I got to meet along the way
mm-hmm.
That planted seeds in me. That planted a seed in me and that, I try my best to give back and, pay it forward to other young women and men who are interested in a career in sports or a career in, communications.
Outstanding. So what happened after ESPN?
So after ESPN, I moved on to Under Armour, which is the athletic apparel footwear company based in Baltimore, Maryland. It's interesting. Like I said, I've just, been blessed and fortunate to meet so many people that have planted seeds in me along my career. And so one of the people I met, Diane Pelkey, who was the head of comms for Under Armour, her and I worked closely together on an Under Armour-sponsored sports event called the Under Armour High School All-America Game, and it was televised on ESPN, ESPNU. And so her and I worked together again on coordinated media relations and developed a good relationship. So she actually came on to ESPN's campus with the CEO at the time of Under Armour and founder, Kevin Plank. They came at ESPN's campus, you know, had a chance to meet him briefly. Of course, saw Diane. We caught up. She's like, what are you up to? You know, there might be some opportunities at Under Armour down the road. We're looking for good people, so I'll keep you in mind. I was like, yep, absolutely. So mm-hmm. I didn't realize that Under Armour was based in my home state until
right.
Kevin came. I didn't know. I was like, I had no idea until, you know, he spoke and said, you know, we're based in Baltimore. And I'm like, what? And so when I found that out, I'm like, Diane, I had no idea. I said, well, I visit Maryland all the time to come home and visit with my family. So next time I'm in the area, you know, maybe we can, you know, catch up for, you know, coffee or lunch or something like that. She was like, absolutely. And at any rate, she ended up reaching out to me before I made it home again. And she was like, I'll never forget, she reached out to me on LinkedIn, and the subject was Under Armour. And I was like, oh. And then she was like, hey, I have this opportunity for, you know, director of corporate communications, and I think you'd be a great fit for it. You know, your background matches perfectly for what I'm looking for. So I was like, mm-hmm. oh, wow. And at the time at ESPN, I was probably a manager level, so it was definitely like a step up in my career. So I was like, it was kind of a no-brainer. But I, you know, of course, talked to her and got to, she said, well, as a matter of fact, I was like coming home 2 weeks later. So I was like, oh, as a matter of fact, I'm coming to Maryland a couple weeks for the Easter holiday. So her and I, you know, caught up. We had an informal interview. And she was like, well, I want you to meet a few more people. I did. I talked and met with them. And then she brought me on board to head up corporate. I was actually the first person to ever serve in the head of corporate communications role for mm-hmm. Under Armour. So it was really, you know, quite, you know, humbling, daunting, but, you know, obviously very blessed and fortunate and excited to, you know, for the opportunity to come there and build a new function of communications for mm-hmm. for the brand. So I was there for 7 years. I just moved on from Under Armour this past November. You know, took yet another leap of faith in my career and have switched industries. So I'm on the manufacturing and industrial side now. So I've since left the athletic industry, but, you know, it's part of my DNA. It's part of my DNA, and, you know, I'm not closing the chapter on coming back to sports. I think there will be – I have a feeling, I've been praying about this, and I have a feeling that there will be another opportunity down the road soon. But in the meantime, this is where God has placed me to be, and it's yet another opportunity to lead in communications. So I'm now a vice president of corporate communications at a company called ESOP, which is a fabrication technology company. So essentially we make welding equipment. So pretty much everything you see, like if you see bridges, you see houses, you see light posts, you know, tables, chairs, all of them have to be welded together. Any two pieces of metal that needs to go to be adjoined, someone mm-hmm. has welded it. So that's where I am now. And like I said, it's been a great ride so far.
Well, I live in Hampton, which is next door to Newport News, Virginia, which is the shipyard. So welding, there's a whole lot of people in our community
yes.
who are in welding. So, yeah, when you said that, I'm like, oh, I know all about that.
Yeah. And my cousin will be proud. My cousin I told you about that kind of steered me toward a career in sports as well, the one that told me about the internship at the BCA, is a Hampton grad. She's a Pirate.
Well, what's her class name, you know?
In school she was Yolanda Coleman. She graduated in, I want to say it was 98.
Okay. No, I said class name. So that's a thing for Hamptonians. All our classes have names. So I'm the class of Dynasty. And so you could ask about that. So,
I'm going to ask her about it. I'll get back to you and let you know. I think she's teaching a class right now.
But what's her major?
She was a mass comm major.
Okay, I was too. But
okay,
I graduated 8 years before she did.
Okay. I'm sure you all have probably been in the same circles at some point. I know she was pretty active with the Alumni Association, and I think still is.
Well, sweetheart, if you in sports, you know you ain't got time to do alumni thing, you know? and the funny thing, I live here in Hampton. And everybody be so excited about coming for a homecoming. I said, look, I'm in sports. Homecoming is work time.
It's work. Yeah.
Right. Catch me doing class reunion time, I'm on the turn up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, until then, bypass me on homecoming, okay? Please. Because, I can't do it. And can I stop by? Can I stay with you? No, you cannot. You cannot. My house is not the hotel room for homecoming because I got work to do. You know?
That's so true. So true. And that's how I felt like when it comes, like you said, you know, for you, when these, you know, you work in sport, when these big events come up, like whether it's Super Bowl or NBA Finals or NCAA tournaments, you know, homecomings, you're like, this is work for me. It's a totally different experience for you than it is, because everybody else, like you said, is like, it's time to turn up. Let me, you know, can you get us some tickets to this event, that event? You're like, I'm working pretty much around the clock. I don't, you know, I don't get to socialize the way you do.
And I don't need to add the stress to my life to try to fit it in. That's why, look, control the controllables, and I can control, you know, like, and please don't think about getting married during a certain time. You won't see me. You know, now I kind of control my time, you know, but then I couldn't. And because I'm telling you, there are family members that I was like, I don't even, you a grandmother? I don't even remember you having the first child. Like, whoa, what is that?
Right. That's so true. Well,
speaking of time, we got to take a short break right here to pay our bills. So we're going to take a short break here in the Chapman Garden. When we return, we continue talking about PR and sports.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the chat, the garden with Sniffins, Blooms, and Athletics and Sports Business. Well, guess what? Our engineer, Jamila Harrison, says she knows your cousin. She's also a Hamptonian.
Oh, small world. I should have known. I should have known. Londa's, you know, has a great network of friends and alumni, so I know that's good. Jamila and I, you know, talked before it came on the air with you, and I was like, how do you say your name again? And she was like, Jamila, like Kamala. I said, well, I'll never forget you now.
Isn't that cute? I love it.
I know.
She was actually my intern. When I was at St. Paul's College, I was running the NYSP, Mm-hmm. I was an administrator.
Oh.
And I was about to go work the Olympic Festival in 95.
Mm-hmm.
And she was my eyes and ears. And because I had heard, the people were, you know, tripping out because I wasn't going to be there for it. So
mm-hmm.
that was in 95. And then I saw, come across that she was a virtual, doing a virtual assistant. She's also phenomenal in athletic administration. She interned with the NCAA. You might have been up there the same time. I can't get the years right. But her husband's in athletic administration, and she repositioned herself for the mother duties and did the virtual assistant. I was like, girl, I need you. And I'm telling you, she saved my life because this podcast was on a different network. And unfortunately, the CEO became ill, and he was closing it down. And I had to try to figure out a way first to get an engineer because I was not going to be doing both, kicking buttons and talking to. And then how to download all my stuff. So it's a family. And I'll just say you and the family man is HBCU. I do have to say Ed Hill is the godfather. however, I got to give homage to the two men who trained me who were SIDs, who were, I would say, peers of Ed Hill. LeCount Conaway, who was a co-founder of HSRN, which we are affiliate of. They show, they list, play our podcast on Fridays at 12 noon and Sundays at 8. He is now passed on, but he was the SID at Hampton. And I, somewhat different from you, I knew I wanted to be in PR because my English teacher said, because I was SGA president, and she said, oh, you'd be great with that because you always plan events, and your events are always trying to teach something. And I was like, okay, that's what PR is? Okay, so I go to Hampton, think I'm going to major in PR. Guess what? They said they had it. Hey, one class in PR. Okay, one class. So I learned everything else but the PR, but it all served me well. Learned television, radio, newspaper, magazine, all of that. And it served me well, especially when I was the PR director for the CIAA. I could talk to all the different media folks. So LeCount Conaway and Wallace Dooley. So and Eric Moore, you might have heard of him. Now, they, it's interesting because I never considered myself an entrepreneur, but all three of these folks showed me how to use my specialized knowledge because even though my first job was sports information director at St. Paul's College, and I was the only SID who knew how to do computerized volleyball stats. And it was suggested that I offer my services to the CIAA. Well, you know, I ain't know anybody. Do you know, you do know what I charge?
What's
I charge a rim of paper. Rim of paper and food money and a hotel room. Okay, that's all I charge. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
But my students, I had like four or five students with me, and one of my students ended up making this a profession for herself. She does volleyball stats. It's called Stats Done Right or something like that. So we are sisters from the SID world.
We are, definitely. Those names, Wallace Dooley, you know, had the pleasure to work and meet him. Eric Moore, you mentioned, is another one. Another person too. I think it is Bill Hamilton. Was it Bill?
Oh yeah, he's a
legend from South Carolina. Yeah. So all those, I mean, I certainly stand, you know, on their shoulders for sure. They definitely opened the door. You know, when I think about, you know, people of color in sports, PR, specifically in collegiate athletics. I mean, when I joined, they just welcomed me with, you know, open arms.
Yes.
It was no hesitation when I got involved with COSIDA, and, you know, it's just still to this day, you know, it is definitely a family for sure.
Yes, it is.
And they continue, you know, like, you know, just they have a legacy that now lives through, you know, people like you and I, you know, and the work that we do and just continue to pay that forward.
Well, you know, the thing is, I would say they spoiled me because I was used to opening arms, okay? Because
right.
the SIDs, they all help each other. There's no competition. But I have to say, when I moved into athletic administration, I did not see – I saw what I saw when I went to BET, let's just be honest. They all saw somebody about to take that spot, and they were not really trying to help you. And so that's just something that I said, I want to incorporate that feeling of camaraderie that, you know, we're on different teams, but we're all on one team. And that's what I try to do here in the garden. When it comes to opportunities and helping you soar. So I just want to say thanks, Mr. Hill, for putting us together.
Yes, for sure. And I would love to stay part of this garden that you've nurtured so well over these, I think it's been 7 years, right, since you started this. So, yeah, so I would love to continue to be a member. I heard you mention a Facebook group. I'm like, I got to make sure I get into that Facebook group and meet some of my other, you know, sisters in, you know, in sport. I still consider myself part of the family, like we've been talking about, regardless if I'm in or, you know, out of the industry. So hopefully I can get connected there after today. We love that.
Well, we're on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden, and you just ask to join, and, you know, I hit the button for you.
All right, I know the woman with the keys to get in. So
yes, you do. It has been a pleasure to have you, and give your Hampton hugs to your cousin for us, and thank you, Jamila Harrison of Refined Solutions, for eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To follow us on updates and show guests, join Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day.